think we can get started. Good afternoon. Originally, we had two speakers scheduled for you today. Unfortunately, the top-billed speaker is battling the flu and was not able to make the conference. My name is Mike Ingram. I'm the Business Development Manager for SAS IT Intelligence, responsible for IT solutions in the Americas in particular, but I'm here to talk to you about the work that we're doing with regards to management of virtual resources, particularly VMware, obviously. Wanted to spend some time today to tell you about the issues we see as we go out and talk to our customers day to day and what common challenges they're facing, give you some insight and an overview of our solution on a broad basis, talk specifically about the challenges that are added to that when you look at the virtual environment, and then specifically talk about what we're doing with regards to analysis and business intelligence around the virtual environment and VMware and our partnership with VMware. This model turns out to be a good way to describe the challenges that customers are facing today as they're trying to mature their legacy systems. And by legacy, I mean not, you know, big steel mainframes necessarily alone, but any system that's out there for which there might not have been, or if there was, a business case and some specific critical success factors put in place to measure whether that particular system is delivering the value. So when you think about those kinds of systems which enter into and have a combination of infrastructure from servers, networks, mainframes, and the applications that are contained within, you have different states, different levels of maturity for those. And what we find is that most of IT is in a reactive mode, trying to get to proactive and then move on up to delivering service and value. The service being the point at which they are beginning to speak in terms that the business understands, in terms of commitments to the business, and value being the point at which they become that partner with the business, as rather than just a burden on the business, a cost of the business. So we find that our customers are mostly or in chaotic or reactive, mostly in reactive, and moving toward a proactive need. Part of the reason is that they have a lot of different and disparate systems and different ways to manage those systems individually. And they don't have a single consolidated way to understand what the interaction is of each of those systems to deliver that overall business function, that business service. Whereas they're monitoring the performance of the network, or they're monitoring the performance of a server or set of servers or an application, when in fact it's each of those components put together that actually deliver the end user experience, the end user service. So in the physical environment, you're dealing with servers and networks and storage performance and storage capacity. You're dealing with the performance of servers which have, you know, you got some combination of Windows, Unix, Linux. It gets more and more complex and varied as you look deeper and deeper into it. Add to that, if you will, the physical resources of personnel and how they affect the delivery of service, whether it's a help desk and the performance of that help desk in terms of mean time to respond, mean time to resolve. All of those affect ultimately the performance. Well, now add to that the challenge or complexity of a virtual environment and trying to bring that into the picture. Historically, what's been done with that data is to deliver real-time or instantaneous performance of those components. And if there's been a service level commitment, it's been on the component level rather than the service level. Is that server available? Was it available? Yes or no. Did it meet the throughput requirements? Yes or no. But never at much higher level than that. And preferably done with exception reporting, which means I don't have to come in and understand what 10,000 servers are doing. I need to know what 10, 50, 100 servers are underperforming and delivering at the levels that they should have delivered. So that's normally the state that we see our customers in today. What they want to do is then get to proactive and ultimately to service. And they want to have a single means to understand all the dependencies on delivering that service. They want to take that, and instead of dealing with real-time what's happening today, they want to understand what's going to happen in the near future. And they want to understand what's going to happen in the near future and far future, but more importantly, when is it going to happen? Not just that something is going to grow, go beyond capacity, but when is that going to happen so that I can accurately plan for that event, when I need to plan for that event, if it means procuring more resources, what have you, that it's in time. Reporting in terms of the end user's particular role and what they want to see, rather than what IT determines they need to see. So the different users, different roles, have different information needs. But it all should be based, hopefully, on the same raw data, rather than different systems, different reporting. You want to consolidate and provide different views, different levels of summary, depending on whether that's a director of IT, a business unit director, the capacity management team, what have you. You want to be able to provide that, those different kinds of reporting. And you want to do it without incurring a great deal of labor overhead. So the more automation you can put in place, the better, because obviously personnel resources are constrained. And in order to do this in a cost-effective manner, you've got to do it with the same number of personnel that you have. And again, innovative ways of delivering that information to those end-user audiences. So how do we do that? Typically, what you see defined as business intelligence is the ability to report on the data that you have. So many of those monitoring tools that you have deployed have a certain level of business intelligence built into them to tell you, you know, how many incidents did you have? How many times was the server down or up? You know, what happened in the past, if you will? What you really want to do is move into a situation now where you can start to understand why things happened. So correlation of something that happened on one set of resources really affected the performance in a completely different area. So at that point, you're still just dealing with extracting information and knowledge from the data that you have. What we refer to be as going beyond that is to apply advanced analytics, advanced statistics, to be able to do forecasting and start to understand what's going to happen next, and if there are slightly different outcomes that could happen, giving you the ability to choose the best thing that can happen or the optimal thing that can happen. Okay. At that point, you're making business decisions based on all the information, the best information, and being given a set of choices that is going to optimize your use of that information. The first order of business, then, is to consolidate all that data. And with the SaaS solution, that's done through a means of adapters to support all the major, I would say, system management and network management tools that are out there. In addition, there are facilities to bring in data from sources other than that, which we encounter in most IT shops that have grown or merged or developed some tool internally, whether that's system operating system scripts or what have you, and that information is being used day to day to track the performance of their resources. So bringing that through our data integration capabilities into a platform that now provides the information about the description about that data to the other facilities so that we can start to do the statistics, the advanced analytics, and the business intelligence associated with that information. But even more importantly, our ability to integrate with the business systems as well as the IT systems to provide the perspective of the business on and the business demand on those IT resources. So if you've got systems deployed from Oracle Financials, Siebel, SAP, which contain what the business is actually doing with those IT resources, to start to look at that so that you can anticipate business demand and apply that toward forecasting your IT demand and capacity needs, then now you're starting to bring the picture together to be able to deliver a business-centric view of what IT demand is going to become down the road. So leveraging now all the data that's being created from those monitoring systems, leveraging the effort in bringing that together and consolidating that in a single platform after doing all the necessary data integration and cleansing that is usually necessary to understand how these things actually relate to each other, then SAS has built onto that a set of solutions to allow you to do several things. In the resource optimization layer is the ability to stabilize and understand your resources. What's out there? What's it doing? How's it performing? And what are the demands on those resources? And what is it going to do and forecast? So planning demand and capacity, understanding what those workloads do and how they behave, what type of profile they have, are they compute intensive, I/O intensive, etc., so you can start to understand what the best resources are to deploy those workloads on. And that has direct bearing then on the decisions you'll make on how you'll deploy those workloads in a virtual environment. So gathering that information at the physical level helps you to understand and plan for where your options are for what you should virtualize, what you shouldn't virtualize, and if you do virtualize now, what characteristics and what kind of parameters should you be looking to deploy those workloads on. But more interestingly, because that effort has taken place to integrate that information, now that gives the benefit of being able to provide even more value from that effort and from that investment. So where service level management may be being done at the component level, now that all components are integrated within a single environment, you can now start to describe a service at the high level and be able to measure it down at the low level and understand what the dependencies are. Are these things serial? Are they redundant? What's the network characteristic? What's the server characteristic? What's the database characteristic? And be able to measure each of those and assign now a service level that the business wants to have. Is this service available? Did it meet the number of transactions that we demanded of it to meet our business needs? And start to agree to service levels with the business on business terms. That same information can be used to meter how much of that resource is being used, by whom, by what business unit, by what user, and be able to actually start doing some detailed cost analysis to be able to have effective chargeback or cost recovery. One of the problems we see with chargeback normally is the first question that comes back from the business user for that bill is, I don't believe it, prove it to me, why am I paying so much, and so forth. So the first step in doing that is to understand where are these sources of cost, what resources are being consumed, and how much of those resources are being consumed by each of those end users, so that you can not only do the cost analysis, but do a fair cost analysis and allocate that cost to the appropriate business unit. So it's not just what we refer to as a peanut butter spread. Okay, I've got, you know, X thousands of dollars worth of servers here, and I've got 10,000 people using them, however many per headcount is, you're going to get charged that. Okay, that's a means to do it, but it's not necessarily a means that the business appreciates or likes. And secondly, it's not accurate. And it doesn't always take into account everything that accounts for cost. As I mentioned earlier, the ability to bring in other types of resource data besides the typical or IT data is the ability to bring in data from IT service management processes. So how much time is being spent by people doing change management? Well, I'm associating that with the payroll and benefits that that set of resources is having. So what fraction of that should be accounted for in the delivery of the service? Help desk. Okay. What fraction of facilities and utilities? So all of those, access to all that information from those business systems gives the ability to understand cost at an even deeper level so that you have the type of financial transparency that you require when you go to implement either cost reporting so that you can affect behavior of those end users or cost recovery or chargeback so that you can defend what those costs and charges are. And finally, being able to tie that together in a platform that lets you understand what the dependencies are between capacity, service, and cost so that you know that your change in one area is going to have an effect in another area. So if you're just looking at resource optimization without understanding the effects on the service level, you can tweak as much of that capacity and utilize it to the hilt. But if your service levels have suffered because of that, then you may not have achieved the end goal. Or likewise, if you've invested in capacity without taking into account cost, whatever. So these three things are codependent. So providing a means to understand all of them within a single means to measure the performance of the IT organization, not necessarily the performance of those resources, bring that information together and deliver that via scorecards and dashboards, again, tailored to the end user, helps you to understand how to best optimize the overall delivery of service affected by these three components. So what's the state of the world today as we hear it? Obviously, virtualization is a huge top-of-mind issue with IT today. They can't do it fast enough, basically. So we're seeing a lot of activity from a lot of vendors, obviously, trying to get into that space as the enabling technology for virtualization. You know, you hear the open source crowd, you hear Microsoft playing there, you hear the grid side of things in terms of how they're going to optimize existing resources and be able to, in essence, virtualize applications through a different perspective. But most organizations are just starting to take advantage of that. And they're facing those challenges, the additional challenges of understanding what that means and how to interpret that new set of metrics, that new environment. If you go back and historically look at mainframes are an environment that is very well understood, but they're well understood because they've been at it for the history of computing, basically. So if you look at open systems, and more so virtualized open systems, they're babies in terms of maturity, or at least in terms of understanding of that technology and how to best apply that technology and how to manage that technology. So they go before the executive management and say, we would like to do this. And usually the pushback is around some of these things here. The additional cost to train, the perceived cost of some new technology. I'm not sure that the lack of vendor competition is quite as relevant today as it might have been a few months ago, because that, like I said, everybody's trying to get into the play. How do we manage this? How do we know when things are going to happen? How do we anticipate the performance of this environment? And then finally, one other is, who can actually run on virtual environments? What vendor's software actually will execute on some of these? And can we really take advantage of these workloads that you say you've profiled? Well, great, now I know how they behave. Will they behave at all inside of a virtual machine? So these are some of the things that are affecting the ability of businesses to adopt virtualization. Some of the things we hear, go back to some of the typical things that you hear, whether they're virtual or physical. Can I integrate this information? That's the same question regardless. As I mentioned, the discipline of deploying virtual environments is very new, and there's not an understanding how to interpret this information. Trial and error. Trial and error is a tried and true methodology out there, whether you like it or not. And that means, okay, I put 3 virtual machines out there. Let me try to put a 4th one out there and hope nothing happens, and wait a little while, and okay, there's no error, so it must have worked. Okay, or there is an error, so I better pull it back. So there's a lot of that going on. And then chargeback, usage of those resources. A lot of the investment that's in place was made by some department, some business unit, and basically they don't want to share. That's what it boils down to. They're, you know, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, if you think of it that way. And until they can be shown that they can be compensated for giving up those resources and in an equitable manner, it's going to be difficult to release those physical resources to the rest of the business to completely take advantage of virtualization. So what we've done is to work with VMware to not only create an adapter to bring this information in along with the other set of resource information, but also worked with the resources at VMware to help us interpret this new type of data and be able to apply that understanding and do proper analysis with it. Okay. So now we have the ability to bring in, first of all, a very rich set of data from VMware alone that can tell us the behavior of these workloads, also the behavior of how they are interacting with the physical host. But when you add to that some of the other pieces of information that I mentioned earlier, you now start to get a bigger picture of how these virtual resources are behaving. Bringing it together with the rest of the data into a comprehensive view. How does this work within the overall scheme with respect to all the other resources that we're monitoring and measuring? Okay. The other thing it can do is, since we have the ability to profile these workloads and since we have the ability to size what those workloads are, and we know what the possibilities are in terms of this is what we need to deploy, and we want to get to what's the optimal use of physical resources. So where should we deploy what workloads, and how many total physical work systems should be used so that you can have the optimal layout, if you will. So you're optimizing not only, maybe you're optimizing the number of physical resources out there and consolidating resources, but you're also optimizing the licensing so you don't have too many licenses out there deployed. But the real benefit, those are usually first phase payback. And it's usually substantial payback that tends to justify the investment in this kind of a solution right up front. But longer term, what you really want to do is maintain that benefit longer term. So you want to be able to understand where is this, you know, you start to do forecasting so that you can understand when the demand is going to exceed the current configuration of your virtual environment, when those virtual machines are going to exceed the demand on the physical resources, when should you optimally rearrange those to take further advantage, or maybe to know exactly what you should procure and when you should procure it. And throughout that, to understand who's using what are all the sources of cost, and how should you report cost and justify, build a business case to accelerate the deployment of a virtual environment to take even further advantage of it. So it's a continual or evolving value proposition. Understand what you have, get confidence in what you have, increase the deployment, and continue to increase to get further and further value from that investment or that strategy. From a specific high-level architecture point of view, what we've done is to integrate with the Virtual Center database itself and bring those metrics into our warehouse so that we now have tables for the particular metrics within VMware as part of the consolidated warehouse that tells us about all the other performance metrics. And in addition, the warehouse allows us to keep information for longer periods of time so we can start to understand any behaviors that aren't obvious on a near-time or real-time basis. Maybe there is something that's occurring, you know, every Wednesday at a certain time, or maybe it's occurring every 3 weeks, but that would be difficult to understand if you're just concerned about what's happening now or what happened in the last few hours. So you start to see some patterns. You also can start to see trends, and you start to see maybe seasonality that's even longer than that. That is business cycle type of seasonality. Now, our third quarter is our busiest business quarter, so now you start to understand maybe over time. And the only way that you can understand that demand is if you have that historical perspective stored. And that historical data now allows you to understand the time sensitivity or the time seasonality of the demand, but it also allows you to have that data in order to do auditing or problem resolution information. But the important thing here is it doesn't put a vast demand on resources. It allows you to keep data for months and years, but at a summarized and statistical level, to then do reporting based on the particular need, whether it's exception reporting on a daily need, or it's capacity reporting on a monthly or quarterly need, financial reporting on a monthly or quarterly need, what have you, and already have the summaries there that take you back far enough, but also don't require you to continually do computing in order to get that summarization. So the data is warehoused, and from that then deliver information to the different users of that information in the format that they want to see it. So some examples of that you'll see here, and I'll go through these slides rather quickly. A typical type of dashboard for maybe an operations manager who's concerned more about the specific resources at the lower level of that resource cube, or that cube that I showed earlier. More concerned with capacity, more concerned about the demand and the forecasting of that capacity. Which servers are my hardest hit servers? Okay. Where are my hotspots in performance throughout the day, okay, from a histogram point of view? delivering that kind of information so that quickly, at a glance, you can understand where you need to spend time today addressing problems. Okay. If you're looking at on an inventory basis, and what is that, what assets do you have out there in terms of virtual assets, and what are they doing? Okay. What kind of demand are you putting on these virtual machines compared to how you've allocated or what you've reserved, what kind of resources you reserved in that? So where are you starting to hit utilization that's going to hit the top of what you've reserved for those machines? Where do you have an opportunity to tune that better and maybe downsize those parameters? Typical reporting of and consolidating information not only from the virtual environment, but also from other environments. So bringing in a single point where you can start to understand performance of all resources and start to measure that and have the ability to investigate, if you will. Nothing to be said there. Typical what happened type of reporting. Right. Comparison of the metrics coming, these are metrics coming straight out of VMware. Right? This is just a comparison of what the virtual machine is doing relative to the host. Right? For example, one of my favorites, and I'm not sure we'll get to it, is, and you've seen some examples, and I haven't explain them, of some of the tile chart information. You saw it earlier in that virtualized environment. The ability to consolidate a lot of information in a single place to understand what resources are doing what when you have a large environment. And typically, when you're deploying this either in physical environment or virtual environment, you typically have many tens, hundreds, in some cases even thousands of components or resources that you're dealing with. Okay? And in that case, the ability to display and consolidate information is important and understand what the performance of those resources are is typically a problem. And when I mentioned exception reporting earlier, it's the ability to understand where you need to spend your time, and sometimes those are problems and sometimes they're opportunities. Sometimes you may be dealing, if you will, with a hot spot or red spot as a problem, but sometimes maybe blue or green is a problem because you're underutilizing your resources. And you don't want to only understand how they're being used today, but you want to take that and forecast that forward so that you know if you take action that you're not going to create a problem in the near future. So in terms of what the benefits are of the solution, I've mentioned being able to take full advantage of virtualization and be able to more rapidly deploy that environment across the enterprise to get the cost benefit of virtualization that is out there. Virtualization is easily well understood as a means to achieve higher utilization and therefore avoid procurement and incurring additional cost, but the lack of understanding of how those resources are being consumed and distributed among the original investors in that capital infrastructure is keeping people from wanting to share. The lack of confidence or true understanding on the performance of that is keeping them from rolling it out in a bigger way so that they can be assured that they're going to deliver those service levels and meet the cost benefits that they've planned for, that they've built a business case around, and so forth. So bringing that all that information together, leveraging that investment, consolidation and avoidance of new infrastructure purchases, and by reducing hardware costs means reducing the need to purchase additional hardware, in essence. leverage virtualization more rapidly, and therefore accelerate return on investment. In summary, touch on the things I've already said. Be able to understand what's happening, bring that information, that new information from the virtual environment into the warehouse, into the difference between what would be your normal monitoring tools versus what's happening within the virtual environment, and put that together and understand the behaviors of your virtual hosts, virtual machines to your hosts. Optimize your licensing by understanding what will fit where and in the least amount of physical resources, therefore minimizing your licensing cost and optimizing the utilization of your hardware. Planning and forecasting so that you know when you should make changes, when you're going to run out of capacity before you have a service level contract that is not met, before the business starts to ring your phone and tell you that you have problems, be able to anticipate that, and using that information then to provide a level of cost analysis that allows you to do the types of cost and chargeback that's going to allow you to give the confidence back to those business units to let them use those resources and to let you take full advantage of virtualization. So do we have any questions? Yes.
So I have some staff naivety related, so I need to ask 3-4 questions. Is this a specific product that bolts onto an existing SaaS product, or is this its own product altogether?
This SaaS IT Intelligence is a solution built on top of core SaaS components.
Okay, is that consistent with like the ITRM?
This ITRM is part of this solution.
Okay, so we use the ITRM at our company today. And some of the questions that I've been asked to gather are things like, obviously, does it read performance data, does it analyze it, all the things that you're answering. But one of the specifics was you mentioned that it integrates with the VM database, the virtual center, I think.
Yeah. Right.
So is that like a real-time integration where it actually reads the database, or is it a software component that pulls the database like a collector?
Yeah. In the case of the virtual center database, IT resource management, which is the ITRM that you mentioned, has adapters to reach into where that data resides, whether it's a VMware data source, an HP OpenView data source, what have you. Okay. So in the case of VMware specifically, it's not an export and import type of activity. It's actually reading the tables and then incorporating them into the warehouse. And the reason we do that, the majority of the time, has to do with concurrency or contention on the database, because this analytic system is not necessarily a real-time or near-time type of analysis. So we don't want to be in there contending for those tables while the operation of that machine continues to happen. So we tend to bring it in to a separate warehouse for that reason alone. Sometimes there are security issues regarding, you know, certain team being able to access, you know, certain data stores or so forth. So there are a lot of reasons why companies, and it's varied. Sometimes they'll do it one way or another. But the other part then is to take full advantage of the forecasting, you really start to put in place that summarization and reduction of the data into other levels at the day, week, month, year level. So in order to do that, yeah, we could, in fact, store that information back in, let's say, another Oracle set of tables. Okay. But what we've done over the years is to build a data store that is optimized for analytics rather than transactions. And that's why we deposit the data in SAS data sets. SAS data sets have, you know, you have the ability to access them with reporting tools other than SAS, but we store it in our own format so that we can gather or read the volumes of data in a timely means to be able to do the types of analytics. So long answer to, we read the data out of the Virtual Center database, but for a variety of reasons.
Do you actually close the loop and take action, move loads around, or things like that?
No, not at this time. We don't take the action. We provide some recommendations, okay? And the goal of this longer term would be to provide information back into that to have an action taken. One of the reasons that also is usually there's a sense that, okay, I want the recommendation, but I'm not yet sure I want to take the action. So, you know, some trigger point says, okay, I like it, yes, go ahead. That would be something to be done.
So your algorithm do you have algorithms that how to package loads in a VMware system or Microsoft?
Right now, our initial focus is with VMware. Okay, and the ability then to use what we're doing is using operational research methods and linear modeling to be able to optimize, first of all, characterize the workload through measures through of the physical running, whether you have monitors out there that are currently monitoring those workloads as normal, as usual, that is, through the physical host. Characterize those workloads and understand the size of that workload and size the virtual machines according to that, and then figure out what's the best fit for a set of physical resources to fit those inside of a particular machine, taking into account a lot of different things, and what things behave well together, what those things don't behave well together. It's not just these things all fit great, you know, and in fact, I can hardly stick a piece of paper between them, but they fit great, but they don't perform worth a darn. So there's a certain amount of intelligence that has to go into, you know, what's the right thing to do as well, and that's where I think the piece that I mentioned about working with the folks at VMware to interpret that properly and to have the knowledge of how these things behave rather than just being a set of numbers, right?
One more question. So basically, do you have your own view of what the overhead is as far as the virtual layer?
No, we're getting that straight out of what the data says overhead is. In terms of the measure between what the virtual machine data is telling us and what's the word I'm looking for? The reserved set of resources, if you will.
Yeah, so over time you should be able to actually validate
right.
The numbers that VMware is giving you and go over to be 7% or 25%.
Exactly. In other words, over time now you can tell, was that initial estimate based on some snapshot, probably,
yeah.
If you aren't collecting data over a long period of time, how good was that estimate? Or maybe even better, really, is the system saying, your estimate is off, you need to go and make this tweak. That's really where the exception type of or alerting type of information is more useful.
I have some more questions.
And I'll be glad we can take them offline just in case and anybody else? By the way, did I answer all your questions?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, questions.
It sounds like the intelligence is kind of a suite of the factors and reporting engines that sits on top of SAS.
It built with SAS. Okay. Built with SAS because it's not, it doesn't, like, you may have SAS in your environment already. What we've done is we could leverage some of base SAS, but it's taken into account, and if you're familiar with SAS, there's the statistics packages, there is some reporting and graphing packages, there's base SAS itself, there's a business intelligence layer, you know, there's a lot of different components. So if you have base SAS, it's not sufficient just to drop this on top of it. You really have to have these other supporting foundational pieces in order to do it. So when you look at SAS IT intelligence, although there is some segmentation into the specific capabilities around resource reporting, service reporting, financial reporting that may, you know, are, let's say, options. You know, do I want that CD player? Do I want the DVD player? You know, that type of option. Ultimately, there's a core set of foundational technologies that have to be there. And so the solution includes that. Say again.
The SaaS IT Intelligence is a self-contained product. It doesn't rely on other SaaS products.
Right. It's when you buy it, you don't have to also go buy this and this and this from SaaS. When you buy SaaS IT Intelligence, you get everything that's required to do the type of analysis you want to do. Question.
So is there support for specific virtual center then?
The latest and greatest.
Okay.
Yes. This is a new initiative for us together at this point. Yeah. However, as any good technology company, we have the ability to our generic collector facility to bring in data from virtually, and no pun intended, any data source. Okay, as long as that data source has a timestamp or a means to generate a timestamp with each record. That's the only requirement, because get some background on SaaS. The ability to do analytics and high-end analytics is dependent on having data upon which to do analytics. So first order of business was to create integration with data. And to that extent, SaaS has data integration capabilities, extensive data integration, both native with API calls to all the major RDBMSs, as well as the ability to read data that may be totally off the wall. And that would allow you then to go back and bring data in from previous versions of VMware data collectors other than the current virtual center as well. In fact, nearly the number that we throw about, but it's probably fairly accurate, customers that have, we have over 700 sites around the world that have this solution, have integrated over 2,000 different types of data. Needless to say, that 2001 would be doable. Right. Any more questions? If not, I'll be glad to wrap this up and then take your questions offline. That'd be great. I'm happy to answer questions. Okay, thank you very much.